Yeah, this is Maria Drummond with Long Island Reporter. It is 8:30 a.m. Tuesday, April 6, 2021, in Davis, from 106. Members present are Representative Kong, Representative Lopez, Vice Chair, and Representative Zelensky, Chair. The board reflects that we have a form to conduct business for the interim consent agenda of finances and health federation at the meeting. If those attending remotely, please keep yourselves muted if you are not speaking. Before we begin, I would like to thank Jane McNair of the House for both their Secretary for Records and Marcia Truitt for their tonight as the staff of the committee today. I'd also like to acknowledge that Representative Karen Carr is online listening in as well. Today, we will be having a hearing on House Bill 47, but Representative Story will be into the Council for Alaska Native Languages. Representative Story, if you could come forward and put yourself on the record and begin your presentation. I would like to note that staff Representative Story are also with us via Teams. So, introduce yourself for the record. Representative Story.
Thank you, Chair Lopez, the members of the Cultural Affairs Committee. For the record, I am Representative Andy Story, representing District 34, which is on Lake Cleveland, and the Dickens Foundation for the Survey of Quebec. House Bill 47, developed as the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council, wanted to do two things. We wanted to shorten the council name and expand its membership. The Council provides recommendations and advice to both the governor and the legislature on programs, policies, and projects, and networks and advocates in support of the council's mission. The mission is to advocate for the survival and revitalization of Alaska Native Languages through collaboration and sharing. The Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council was created by the second session of the 27th legislature. The governor appointed 5 million members who are professional language experts and represent diverse regions of the state. The district there are 2 non-voting members, one member in the Senate, appointed by the Senate president, and one member of the House, appointed by the Speaker, and have been honored to serve as the non-voting member from the House on the society information. Was graduating. The key thing in the small changes proposed in House Bill 47 has significant meaning to the Council. The first item in the name change simplifies the name from the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council to Council for Alaska Native Languages. This reflects the goal of sustaining and reinvigorating the Alaska Native Language, a concept that goes beyond preservation. The second change requested is to add 2 new members, going from 5 to 7 voting members. Alaska has about 20 distinct indigenous languages. If we are able to work with some core languages, the council feels 2 new members would capture a greater perspective. So, I appreciate your consideration of House Bill 47. It supports the request of the council.
Thank you.
conference with our trade and our firm bank allocated 2 members, 2 trips per year, and that represents the unique this month.
Thank you, Representative. Do you have another question?
The long stand from this one, the fiscal notes represent a change from the status quo in the states, the status quo in the so if travel was permitted before Alabama, before COVID, and this then there will be a return to the status quo in the fiscal note. That's not actually a change in the fiscal note, that is correct, as of this
moment. Thank you, Mr. Representative. With the addition of the 2 members, that's what this represents. You're correct, and that it would not impact the other members traveling. This just represents the 2 additional membership that don't exist.
Any additional questions? All right. Thank you, Director, for getting that question for us this morning. We will now return to invite Ms. Cody from Cody Lance Cotillo, Associate Professor of Alaskan Languages at the University of Alaska Southeast. Mr. Cotillo, if you could introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, you said it right.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, representatives. She's Representative Soria and her office are in this House Bill 47. My name is Linnea Lance Twitchell. That is an X with an underline, an apostrophe, UNEI, and I represent myself here today speaking in favor of this bill. It is an honor to visit with you all and to talk about the second and irreplaceable languages in Alaska. My work is in teaching the native language at the University of Alaska Southeast and advocating for the health and safety of 22 additional Alaska Native languages as a scholar of language revitalization. I'm also the vice chair of the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council, however, I do not speak for those organizations today. I wish I could tell you that there was great news regarding Alaska Native languages. I wish I could say that since the last time I testified to this great body of elected leaders, to declare a state of emergency for our languages, that sufficient work had been done, changes were made, and led to hope. That is simply not the case. As leaders, let me tell you what is going to happen on your watch if things do not change. And what history books will remember for all of us. Half of the surviving Alaska Native languages are going to die out. The silence will be horrifying at the analysts. Many of your colleagues may never even notice unless they happen to read about it. There is so much work to do and so much loss on a daily basis, and that work falls upon six people from the perspective of the state of Alaska, the 5 council members, and the single employee of the Alaska Native Language Preservation and Advisory Council. When this council was formed in 2012, many of us doing this work felt a charge of energy. We felt seen and we felt heard. But then politics began to be played. The staff positions for the council was cut from 2 to 1. The reports produced movements and ears, often falling ears that refused to listen, and eyes that refused to read. If Alaska Native languages were truly important to this state, then this Congress would have heard the calls for changes and taken more courageous action since that time. We had at least 20 languages that were spoken in the state before contact, and 21 of them are still spoken today. By my estimations, and my estimations of language experts across the state, over half of them may have fewer than 10 speakers remaining, and we're only talking about incremental change, or only pulling a line that does keep us in a death spiral. And let me tell you this, if this was your future on the line, if this was a total break between your present existence and all of your ancestors, and if you step to lose the chance to pass along your identity to your descendants, I would do all that I could to help you. This is the way of the human being. I ask you this, can you, not as a single representative, not as a committee, not as a House of Representatives, but as the legislature of the state, could you collectively say the same? This is a small change that the council has been asking for since our last report came out 2 years ago. We are not in the business of preservation, but we have substantial and lasting change that leads to revitalization. While it is our way for the entire ways of knowing to be eradicated as systemic and deliberate genocide, what kind of humans are we if we stand upon a foundation of racism and allow systems of communication that are tens of thousands of years old to be lost? Can we, with steadfast determination and unity, dream of a future other than death? Can we find the courage to create a different destiny and be real about the levels of inaction and the total lack of compassion? For all of us, I would say, yes. This is a small change, and as a scholar and advocate of language revitalization, I have many ideas for larger changes, but I implore you to grow this house and find a way to elevate the voices that are burdened with these levels. Give it a stronger and more relevant name regarding the work that we do and the terminology currently used in this field. There is an enormous pull to stop the top from dark hands, from which this government has removed the tools and the puppets. Have courage, my leaders. A brighter future calls you if you choose to listen. A new day is waiting if you choose to see. In a language we say, good of case, thank you. So it's squidney. The first phrase is kind of hard to explain, but it's squidney.
Thank you for being with us today. It's good to see you. Very, very nice to see you again. You spoke about, obviously it's important to be on, but you spoke about having ideas and a vision for greater things. If you were pink clay, what is it? Because 2 years ago, I think I was the sponsor of the emergency declaration for the languages. And we have that bond, and I know that Representative Chris Tompkins did a bill prior to that, and he spoke about the need to preserve languages. What is it that, what fundamentally do you think we could do to really advance the cause of preservation of native languages? And is it something that the legislature itself can do, or something even bigger than that? What's your perspective on that?
Thank you, Representative Ortiz, for the chair. And thank you for saying my name. That means a lot to me. We have put in our report several of our suggestions, so I don't want to take away from the energy of this bill, and hopefully it's glad through the process. However, I think the steps to take at this time would be, and I'm not sure if the legislature could push this. I know it's typically a fairly hands-off process sometimes as the internal operations of the University of Alaska. But there's a group of us called the Alaska Native Studies Council, and we have recommended and have been pushing for our College of Alaska Native Languages. It's in the business of certifying speakers, certifying teachers, and having full licensure for teachers of Alaska Native Languages. I don't think that there's a clear path for people to become teachers of Alaska Native Languages, and I also don't think there's a clear path for full degree options for all of our official Alaska Native Languages. I believe if you couple that with changes to the Department of Education to create an Alaska Native Language Schools Consortium, which will essentially serve as a statewide school district for all language nests, which are essentially preschools that run in a full immersion environment, language schools, which include language medium schools, such as the one in Bethel, and then would also include language programs in public schools. So then this would mean the state of Alaska, the Board of Education, deals with four particular goals when it comes to education. School districts, charter schools, correspondence schools, and Alaska Native Language Schools and Programs. I believe clearing the space within the existing systems could be done without a significant budget increase, although at some point we have to figure out how to create the generalized spaces for teachers of masculine languages. I believe that the steps beyond might probably involve looking at state standards of education and asking why masculine languages are not included in state standards. And although all of those moves would at least shine a light on the path, for a lot of our languages, it's going to require systemic shifts for our populations. I do appreciate all the work that has been done so far, and that the support and vision to declare an emergency. I felt like at this time, I felt like we declared an emergency, and everything just sort of kind of froze from that point. And so I think we have to move beyond, we have to take that energy of these legislative victories and then translate those into a bit more substantial transformation in our institutions.
Thanks, there are lifelines that we can use about human broadcasting in your region, and we wonder if we should be providing additional funding to public radio specifically for broadcasting in native languages, particularly in those regions where we have critical passive speakers, particularly in the Yakin. You can then get on there with Mayhaz. Comments on that or other thoughts on kind of how we use state funding media to support language revitalization.
Thank you for that, Chair. Well, I guess for the record, I don't know what you had to say, but she I think that was very effective when it came through public media. And just like, I think, a simple thing like that, people have tears in their eyes because there's a figure they grew up with in the dark who's using their language and saying, he wants to say that word. And that's a small thing that creates a huge, huge impact. And the entire staff at KTOO, which is a public radio station here in Toronto, it's a television station, they're all taking a creative language course, and they're receiving funding, and they're learning the language, and they're figuring out ways to utilize the language a bit more. So I do think public broadcasting is a huge step, and I think you could also, in partnership with stabilizing some of their funding sources, develop an Alaska Native Language Media Network that would be used basically, and I think you could have maybe two things here, which this would be a bit of a thing we'd have to put our minds together and figure out how to make it work. But one would be this group that basically develops media content for Alaska Native languages. So you have a filmmaker, you have someone who can edit stuff, you can detect the material, they can work with teachers and speakers and develop programming, which a lot of language speakers and teachers might not know how to do. They know how to speak it, but to create effective programming would require some expertise. I think along those lines, maybe increasing abilities with the Alaska Native Language Center to become a statewide publication center for Alaska Native Languages, I think would really help. So that if we have ideas, we have another team there that can take our concepts and create books and online resources for us rather quickly, because again, the speakers and the teachers don't necessarily have graphic design and web design abilities, but if that was centralized through some efforts, I think, again, you would have a positive transformation.
As well as her kind of travel. Many of us are completing work in the budget subcommittee process. We are starting to state dependents on reduced travel and moved to virtual meetings. If there was an opportunity to ensure that there would be movement of the necessary requests here and opt for virtual meetings to avoid a fiscal impact, because that's something that the council did support.
I can't speak for the council, but I would think that that would be a favorable option, because we need more folks who can do this work. And one thing that the pandemic has done with all of us is increased our ability to meet online and to also sort of see, well, could we just continue to meet online, especially we have transitioned from exclusively a telephonic meeting to a video meeting, which I think is effective because we can see each other's faces and we can interact with each other a little bit more. So I would think that would be a favorable option, because again, with a single employee, we're asking them to be sort of the state's one employee who specifically in charge of helping 23 languages that are extremely endangered, and none of us can do this alone. So I think having a team and developing a vision on how to perhaps build that team with some other sustainable, maybe in some cases soft money sources, I think would be a really smart move.
Thank you for that. So I guess I would have a follow-up question for Director Molloy. If the council, at what point, I guess, since the fiscal impact is presupposing that the council might desire to meet in person, but as we heard, there's an opportunity to meet virtually with video without having a fiscal impact, at what point does the department reconsider the fiscal vote? Hearing about your wizard community.